from the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the closing market report. It is the 27th day of November 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Mark Russo at Risk Pulse out of Chicago. Along the way, we'll check in on the cash grain situation with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. And Gary Schnitke, agricultural economist from here on campus, will join us to take up agricultural revenue on the farm on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon. Let's turn our attention to what happened at the CME Group in Chicago and how trade ensued for the first trading day after the Thanksgiving, well, the second trading day after the Thanksgiving holiday, with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Happy Cyber Monday.
Well, I hope you got some good deals. Have you been looking around and finding things you want to buy?
Well, there's wheat and corn that was on sale today. I don't know.
That's been on sale for a while now.
No, actually, I let the kids and my wife take care of the electronic stuff online. It's a little challenge for me.
I hope you had a good Thanksgiving, and thanks, by the way, for coming to the Farm Assets Conference last Tuesday.
Yeah, I was there for a short period of time. I had to catch a flight out of town, but the short time I was there was quite an interesting conversation, good crowd, and I always enjoy being able to get out and meet everybody and visit one-on-one with everybody there.
Now, what happened in Chicago today?
More of the same spread activity, buying beans, selling corn, buying beans, selling wheat on the spread. Not a whole lot of new, real fresh fundamental news. Beans held up fairly well compared to the forecast we're seeing in the southern hemisphere. For the most part, a favorable weather pattern. Brazil's fairly well wrapping up in their planting progress. And we're seeing Argentina about 41% complete on their planting progress. The concern continues to be about export business. Bean exports continue to be fairly decent as a whole. Look for additional business to surface on price breaks. But we're in a time window in here. Harvest activity is fairly well wrapped up. We'll continue to monitor the southern hemisphere and their weather and some fresh export news as we move forward here, Todd.
And what are we looking forward to between now and the end of the year?
Well, oftentimes, whenever the bear gets Thanksgiving, the bull should have Christmas. So we'll see if that would kick in. We kind of missed our Columbus Day holiday low. So we're looking at the next item here to firm prices up. I think that the producer is going to be tight holder here until they approach year end, for say. So we'll see what happens there. Commodity funds still short, you know, a large amount of corn and wheat. So hopefully they'll want to cover those positions and square away their books here as we move into year-end to give us a little boost in prices, for say.
March on in the soybeans all have a 10 handle on them. Soybeans went to a high of $10 today in the nearby January, 10.01 and a half. Any more room for the upside there?
We feel so. Over time, beans continue to defy the law of gravity. Guys have been bearish beans for 3 years, and here we are with a big 400 million bushel carryout, but beans are, you know, trading $10 on the board. I think the trade's still concerned about the overall bean structure. Asia continues to continue to be buying beans on a weekly scale because they need to keep shipping beans, whether it's out of the northern or southern hemisphere. Probably the most bang for your dollar here, something you've been talking about for quite a few years here, is this bean oil market. We did see a little setback in Malaysia palm oil. We're looking at some new announcements here on renewable fuels by the end of the week. I don't know if there's going to be anything new there, but bean oil particularly could be a hot commodity, hotter than probably Bitcoin, as we move through this winter, especially if that July bean oil gets down around 32 cents.
What are you seeing in the livestock market for the week?
Well, we've got the traditional Thanksgiving holiday out of the way. looking for demand to resurface here. The meat market held where it needed to hold. Looking for the February fast to revisit the 128 level. And the February hogs up towards the 74, 75 cent area, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Very good. Take care.
You too. That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. In today's agricultural news, the Environmental Protection Agency, US EPA, decided Wednesday of last week to maintain the renewable fuel standard point of obligation. A FarmFutures.com report notes that EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt followed through on a promise to a group of Midwest senators that he would deny a petition from oil refiners to change the point of obligation. He followed through Wednesday when the Federal Register noted that the petition had been denied. Petitioners had claimed that changing the point of obligation would result in an increase in production, distribution, and use of renewable fuels in the U.S. and would reduce the cost of fuel for consumers. An EPA news release says the agency doesn't believe that the petitioners prove that changing the point of obligation would be beneficial. The EPA says while we do not anticipate a benefit from changing the point of obligation, we do believe that such a change would significantly increase the complexity of the RFS program, which could negatively impact its effectiveness. POET CEO Jeff Bruin says, "I applaud the president and EPA for standing up to the special interest groups within the oil industry who seek to undermine American-made biofuels. Although it's not region-wide, there are some signs that farmland values in the Corn Belt have begun to stabilize. A top producer report says Iowa farmland value rose 2% in the 6 months prior to September. Those same values are also 3% higher than at the same time last year. The Iowa chapter of Realtors Land Institute survey says that's the first increase in 3 years. Other Corn Belt states are showing steady to slightly lower values over the same time period. The report notes that the run-up in farmland value started in Iowa and then spread to other states. And finally, Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley remains optimistic that North American Free Trade Agreement negotiations will come to a conclusion that benefits agriculture. TheGazette.com says Grassley's optimism remains in spite of the hard line taken by the Trump administration in the negotiations. Grassley and other ag state senators have been continually pushing for the trilateral agreement to continue. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce says NAFTA supports 138,000 jobs and $5.3 billion in exports from Grassley's home state. At a recent appearance in Cedar Falls, Iowa, Grassley noted that he expects the hardline negotiations from the Trump administration to continue, but he also says surely they're not going to let this thing fall through. Grassley says he, fellow Iowa Senator Joni Ernst, and Senate Ag Committee Chairman Pat Roberts of Kansas have all been continuing to push for the agreement in meetings with several key Trump advisors. And that's a quick look at today's agricultural news. We kicked off the winter meeting season last week in style at the Farm Assets Conference, and we'll continue that in the month of December with the Illinois Farm Economics Summits. This is the roadshow that the agricultural economist upstairs here in Mumford Hall put on. We'll be on the road in DeKalb, Peoria, Springfield, Carlisle, and Champaign the week beginning Monday, December the 18th, and wrapping up on Friday the 22nd. You can register today online at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. I'll be there, and our next guest will be too. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Gary Schnittke, agricultural economist from the U of I. Gary, thanks so much for being here. You have written an article, and you do this every year, about incomes, revenues on the farm, what they look like for 2017.
So we're projecting for 2017 net incomes on grain farms in Illinois, and they're going to be down from last year. So last year we had roughly $95,000 of income, according to FBFM, for per farm for net incomes. We would be pegging that something in the $60,000 to $65,000 range for an average for 2017, which is down from last year, but is up probably from our expectations this summer when we were thinking yields were much lower than in fact they turned out to be.
When you take a one-third pay cut, you wouldn't think you'd be all that happy about it. But in this case, it looks better than it did.
Yeah, and it looks better than 2015 when we essentially averaged zero on farms. So less than last year, but still not as bad as it was in 2015.
I think I know how this happened, but explain to me why we turned out better than expected.
So we turned out better than expected because of higher yields across Illinois. And in fact, USDA is projecting our corn yield at 198 bushels per acre, which is one bushel higher than last year. So we've seen exceptionally good yields for corn. Soybean yields are off, according to USDA, a bushel from last year, but still the pretty high levels. So most farms are seeing good yields. And again, after some of the spring and summer, we saw that those yields are good. Lower prices, a bit lower prices than in 2016, but still we're looking at pretty good yields. The other thing that's happening is ARC payments are coming down over time, and we're probably looking at the payments we got in 2017 or this fall to be the last significant ones of those. Next year, probably looking at the $5 to $10 per acre average for 2017 production. So ARC county payments are going down, and again, that hurts our revenue side. Good side, though, is we have seen costs come down, particularly for nitrogen fertilizer.
We've had a lot of discussions, at least on the radio and when I've been out and about, mostly because of the farm bill coming up, about ARC and what those ARC payments were supposed to do. And whether you and other agricultural economists expected that the ARC payments would roll down over time. And I've said, of course, if you go back and look at the numbers, the answer is yes. Can you explain what ARC is supposed to do over time?
So what we expected ARC to do, and is in fact doing, is roll down in payments. ARC is a county revenue program that has its benchmark revenue calculated based on prices from the last 5 years. So as the high price years from 2011, 2012, so forth, roll off in our 370 sort of prices that we've had the past couple of years roll on, that benchmark price is coming down, and payments from ARC are coming down. That was expected. Probably the unexpected thing is the low prices that we're seeing right now. Projections were not for this low, but we're there, and that's what's leading to the talk of modifications for ARC in the upcoming farm bill.
In fact, so the way that it's set up, and it, as you said, works on a five-year, and it's an Olympic average, so it throws out the high and the low, but a five-year average with the expectation that coming out of 2012 and the high price period, you knew, mostly knew, that prices would go lower and that this would help farmers transition that one-third pay cut. And up front, the first and second year, maybe the third year, it would help them start to take the pay cut until the input costs, which we just discussed in another FarmDoc Daily article about the price of nitrogen being lower, came down and adjusted to the new income of farmers, the new lower price of grains and oilseeds.
That's exactly what it's supposed to do, and it has helped in that transition. We still need to see some costs come down, and the ones we're focusing on right now are cash rents, and those continue to need to come down given the price levels that we're experiencing now. Hopefully we see higher prices in the future, but you know, if you're a betting person, you better bet on mid-$3 corn and low to mid-$9 soybean prices. This year, probably you would be building that into your budget for 2018 and probably keep doing that until we see some sort of yield shortfall someplace in the United States or South America. And when that happens is anybody's guess.
Gary, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Gary Schnitke, agricultural economist from the University of Illinois. Let's turn our attention now to the cash grain market. We're joined by Brian Stark. He is of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Brian. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here.
Well, tell me about the finish of harvest season here in the eastern part of Illinois.
Things are pretty much wrapped up. We've got a few double crop soybeans that have to be cut, but for the most intensive purposes, harvest is done, and we've started to see basis appreciate given the declining board price to generate movement specifically at the processor and the end user in the southeast. So I suspect that'll be the trend. The producer acts uninterested at selling corn down at these low levels, and so basis is probably going to have to do some of the work here in the next 30 days between the holidays to cover end user needs.
How much work has it done so far?
Well, we have moved our bid at the weakest point at 24 under the December through harvest to now 11 under as our spot corn bid. So it's moved 13 cents. You know, but most of that happening here in the last 2 to 3 weeks. So I suspect that you'll see a little bit more. I think most of the appreciation at the elevator level has occurred, and you might see some more spilling into December. But I think the processor might have to show more appreciation given where the board is today to try and price some corn from the farmer's hands here in the next 3 to 4 weeks.
I've made note on my trip back and forth from home to work that there is an awfully big pile of corn behind the Andersons, though you only have one pile this year as opposed to two, but it looks like it might be big enough to handle both of those that were there in the past.
Yeah, it's definitely comparable to what we've done in the past, and obviously we'll be focused on a reclamation project here the next 4 weeks before Christmas to try and get it all picked up. But yeah, it's interesting. I think the farmer in general brought a lot of corn to town. Yields were better than expected. I think that's probably been highlighted a lot here in the last 4 to 6 weeks as we've gone through harvest, but certainly not comparable to 2016, but still much better than what early crop surveys reported back in August.
You have 4 million on the ground?
Yeah, it's close to that, maybe a little bit less, but pretty much close to what we've done in the past.
And then you talked about appreciation of the basis for corn. What about for soybeans?
Soybeans, I think, a little bit different scenario. The export market has been softer with demand running behind pace from what the government's expecting as exports, and it really turns to the interior and how much the processor on the interior of the Corn Belt needs beans here between now and the holidays. Similar movement, but I don't think you'll see near as much of appreciation on that end because of where the bean price is today and the fact the farmer has been more inclined to sell cash soybeans to generate cash flow needs rather than corn. So the basis doesn't have to do as much work on the bean side as it does on corn to generate movement.
So a little opposite effect where the futures prices remain fairly depressed for corn. Basis has begun to do the heavy lifting, and futures for soybeans hitting that $10 range again, even in the January contract.
That's right. I think the futures has done a little more of the legwork on the soybean side, and I think you'll continue to see producers' choices selling beans for cash flow needs here before the end of the year before they turn to corn.
What are farmers telling you about next spring and their planting intentions?
I think natural rotation in our area, we saw more soybeans planted this year, so I think you might see slightly heavier corn acres simply because of the rotation. In general, I think beans economically have shown a better return, less cost intensive. I know Gary's done a lot of work on that here at the U of I, and I think producers starting to listen to maybe staying a little bit more closer to a 50-50 rotation, 55-45 rotation, but something less heavier on corn. But I think the natural rotation, at least in our draw territory, might show a little bit more corn acres here in 2018.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Brian Stark. He is with the Andersons. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. When we come back in just a couple minutes, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast. Mark Russo will join us from Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Again, find us online, WILLAG.org, and listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Let's check in on the weather forecast. Mark Russo is here. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Mark. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here.
Let's start and work our way from the south to the north in Argentina, where they have had some difficulties over the last, 4 weeks or so, dry conditions in parts of that nation, especially some of the growing regions. Can you detail those for me and what they're looking forward to now?
Yeah, as far as the driest acreage, it does happen to be some core corn and soybean acreage within northern Buenos Aires, southern Santa Fe, southwest Entre Rios, and into the southeastern part of Cordoba. And that area, albeit a fairly small area, that's seeing a rainfall deficit over the past 30 days, in some cases less than 50% of normal rainfall over the past 30 days, it does include some of the key acreage there. So that's why it's taken on more importance. And ultimately, that is why more rain is needed to help improve soil moisture within those driest pockets. As we look out ahead over the next couple of weeks, it really looks to be just one main opportunity for rainfall coming up in Argentina. And that is going to be taking place December 1st through the 3rd. It's going to be a wave of low pressure tracking from the Pacific across Chile into Argentina. It looks like it's going to produce a moderate rain event, but not a major or all-encompassing rain event. And there's still some debate from a model guidance standpoint, but we're specifically forecasting about two-thirds of the Argentina grain belt picking up significant amounts, but so with a bias west. So there will be some relief, but again, not all areas will improve, but certainly the western acreage, Cordoba, La Pampa, southern Santa Fe looks like to be the acreage with the highest probability of soil moisture improvement.
And then if you work your way northward through Brazil, what do the primary growing regions look like there?
Yeah, for Brazil, they continue to be in good shape across both southern Brazil and northern Brazil. We've seen improvement in rainfall across what had been a dry area in the northeast portion of Brazil. That has since improved in recent weeks, and more rain is on the way from now through the middle part of December, continuing to keep Brazil in very good shape.
And finally, here in the United States, it was beautiful over the Thanksgiving holiday. Looks like we've got a few more good days in front of us, but some rainfall along the way this week, too.
Some rainfall, but overall a pretty quiet period of weather, especially this week here across the middle of the country. That will start to change here next week as we do see some cooler air beginning to work its way into the middle of the country by the end of the week. And that will also, some indications also that will be a spin up of a storm system here in the middle of the country. It doesn't look to be here in Illinois, but areas west, Nebraska, potentially South Dakota, Wyoming, northern Colorado, those are areas that need to be watched. Even from a livestock stress standpoint, those are areas that could see a significant winter storm. So something to keep an eye on as we're over 7 days away, but certainly an item to watch as we move into December.
Hey, Mark, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Yeah, my pleasure, Todd.
That, of course, is Mark Russo. He is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on the Closing Market Report, helps us wrap up this Monday edition of our program. Don't forget, you can hear it anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.